Welcome to another season of Indiana Lawmakers, the state's longest-running public affairs program. I'm John Schwannis, pleased and honored to be back for my 24th season as host. So if I were to ask you to name Indiana's biggest spectacle in speed, you might mention the Indy 500, the Brickyard 400, or maybe the U.S. Nationals. My nominee? The Indiana General Assembly's 2020 session. Over the next 9 weeks, though, we'll do our best to slow things down so that together we can examine how lawmakers' actions will affect Hoosiers' daily lives. Indiana lawmakers, from the State House to your house.
Purdue Research Foundation's $1 billion Discovery Park District, where the Convergence Center is merging companies, investors, and entrepreneurs with Purdue innovators to address global challenges and advance life-changing technologies. More at DiscoveryParkDistrict.com.
The 2020 session began Monday with committees hearing more than two dozen bills, and with House and Senate leaders predicting a speedy but highly productive session. Joining me to offer their perspectives are former Indianapolis Star political reporter Mary Beth Schneider, now an editor with the State House file at Franklin College, Eric Berman, veteran political reporter for WIBC Radio here in Indianapolis, Lindsay Erdody, who covers state government and politics for the Indianapolis Business Journal, and Brandon Smith, State House reporter for Indiana Public Media and host of Indiana Week in Review, which, as I like to say, airs on many of these same public broadcasting stations. And if you don't air it, we're coming after you later, I guess. But that's a discussion for another day. If anybody has 2020 vision, it's you guys. And I won't use
that.
I see
what you did there.
Thank you. I'm just going to use that once.
Corrected 2020 vision in my case.
Corrected in your case. All right. There might be contacts elsewhere.
LASIK surgery.
All right. Where is this show headed? My God. The optometrists and ophthalmology folks, viewers out there will love it. Speed, speed, speed. That's all we heard this week, it seemed. But leadership said, oh, but it's going to be productive. Mary Beth, are those synonymous?
They can be, but I don't think it's a really smart way to go about making public policy. We had a hearing on how we have some extra money coming in. There was a hearing in Ways and Means. It was perfunctory. The Republicans decided they were going to put it into some education, higher education capital building projects. They're taking out the swine bar because Lord knows it looks bad in an election year to choose a swine barn. And then Democrats asked
for a swine barn. Come on, I mean.
Yeah. But there was no true debate. Is this the right way to spend the money? Is this the thoughtful projects that we really need to do? Is this the best use? And instead it was, they had their list. This is what we're doing. And then, boom, it's on the floor of the House again.
Well, there was that tiny little debate when Greg Porter offered an amendment that would have taken that $291 million and put it toward a one-time teacher.
It wasn't a debate. Okay. He made his proposal saying one-time bonus. They responded saying, but we don't want to commit to anything long-term. There was no debate about what he actually proposed, which was a bonus, not a long-term commitment.
And I do want to dig into that further. But again, Eric Berman, fast, does that equal productive? Or can fast mean that we dispense with everything and we have nothing to show at the end, but we've staved off all the bad stuff?
Which would be the cynical way of looking at it. But no, I don't think the two are related. They're on parallel tracks. It's definitely going to be fast because they've got to be out by the 14th and they'll probably be out by the 11th. Whether it's productive or not depends on what they do. I think, you know, you're familiar with Parkinson's Law. Work multiplies to fill the available time. What you're seeing is they're scheduling committee hearings a lot faster. We're in the first week. Normally, you would have, we'll get around to doing the substantive bills next week or maybe the week after. You've had a bunch of substantive bills moving already, not only the paying cash for construction, but the smoking and vaping bill is already moving. The hold harmless on ILEARN is already moving. There's been half a dozen major bills that have already gotten committee hearings and are on their way to the floor.
And well, some of that, by the way, is a byproduct of an even shorter timeline than usual. You just mentioned statutorily they have to be out by the 14th, but they really have to be out by the 11th because they lose their hotel rooms for college basketball tournament in town. And they started later than usual just because of the way that the timing of the month started. So starting the 6th is much later than they usually get to. So, and then when you consider that next week, like, there's less time because you have the state of the state, the state of the judiciary, there's literally less time to have some of these meetings. It's much more truncated than usual. And in a short session, just losing a few days on the back end and a few days on the front end can really squeeze you.
Well, is that then why we're seeing so much activity with substantial, or some, most people would argue, substantial bills this early? Or is there some messaging that's going on that, that we said this is going to be productive and we're going to show that we are not monkeying around here for the first few weeks?
I think that's definitely part of it. But I think on the other side of things, I mean, obviously Democrats and Republicans have different views on how to spend that surplus money that we have. But some things there's already agreement on, you know, when it comes to holding schools and teachers harmless on iLearn results. Democrats and Republicans both agree that that should happen. So it makes sense that that's already moving pretty quickly. You know, some of the bigger healthcare bills, like Eric mentioned, you know, raising the smoking and vaping age to 21, it already happened at the federal level. And again, Democrats and Republicans kind of both see eye to eye on this and both want that to move. So I think some of the things we saw this week, there's already at least some agreement on the general topic, even the all-payer claims database. I think there's agreement on healthcare costs are too high, we need to do something. I think they're going to debate the details of that a little bit more. But
not in a partisan way.
Not in a partisan way. Right. So,
We should mention the vaping and the tobacco sales, since that is everybody's largely in agreement, and since Congress has already, since the federal side of the equation has already taken care of it, we're really down to what kind of penalties to assess, and that's, I guess, where there's a little bit of a rub, although I don't know that that's necessarily a partisan issue.
Exactly. Again, it's not partisan. It's going to be what's the right balance here, because there are some who say that the new increased penalties that are in the bill right now that passed out of the House are draconian, and there's an argument to be made that they are, but they didn't make any changes to the bill when in the House committee, but its author, in her closing, said there are going to be changes to this bill. They might happen in the House, they might happen in the Senate, but that bill's going to get passed.
You know, if we had a dry erase board in here and we had put been accumulating over the past few weeks measures or proposals that were likely to sail through, such as the ones perhaps that have just been touched on, and those that are dead on arrival or worse, it seems like that latter category is a lot bigger. This is the no session in many ways, and maybe that's a byproduct, again, of the speed with which this session is unfolding. Again, it gets back to that notion of productivity. And the biggest question, I guess, where it comes to no degrees of no would be with this teacher one-time bonus for teachers or some sort of adjustment for teachers. Just when the Republicans had seemed pretty unified and said, you know, not going to happen this year, we have a commission looking at this, they'll put forth their recommendations during the interim, and then when we have a budget year, we'll come back and deal with this. And then the governor this week on Monday really kind of started everybody, I don't want to say you guys got all excited, but I'm guessing there was a little bit. You awoke from your slumber to go rush down there and see what was going on there.
Our eyebrows raised a little
bit. Well-deserved slumber. But he said, basically, watch the state of the state. There might be something in this because of the surplus, unexpected additional dollars that are in the budget.
He said yes.
Okay, said yes, but then he kind of... So what's going to happen? All right, tell me then what's going to happen here.
The Speaker of the House mocked reporters for raising eyebrows and trying to find out what happened, but the Speaker of the House and his legislative leaders on budget side all ran down to the governor's office themselves.
They were caught off guard just as much as...
That was the words that Bosma used. We ran down to the governor's office.
He says, make sure that we were on the same page, is what he said.
Is it your sense that they are?
I think they are, but they're still then. Bosma did not explain what it was that the governor told them that he was going to do. He did say he thought that there was less to it than it sounded at first blush. I don't know. The fact that he raised anything at all is unusual.
Well, and Bosma also said, too, though, that it's not anything they're going to have to pass this session. So that makes me curious again as to what the governor's getting at, and I guess we'll find out in the state of the state. But
that does seem to run afoul, though, of this notion of we got a commission that's looking at this. Let's wait.
Well, I'll make the prediction and be prepared to be very wrong.
I'm writing this down right now.
Governor Holcomb tells teachers to tune into the state of the state, I think if they do, and I hope they do, they will be disappointed. Because I think any head fake he gave towards we were going to do something this session, which did seem to be what he was saying, was not what he meant. And that's the sense I've gotten both from the speaker in his remarks to reporters and also behind the scenes, even some administration officials thinking, that's not really what is going to happen, but we'll see.
Eric Berman, you're going to make it unanimous? Is this just a sort of a... a temporary bit of excitement over nothing that materializes come Tuesday at the State of the State?
I don't think it's excitement over nothing, and I don't know what the something is going to be, but there's something there. They've got a big that they literally can't spend the money that's coming in fast enough. And what the governor said, which
I think there are some people who could. But,
yeah, I'm sure they could if they put their minds to it. But I mean, there's a reason that the House Republican leadership went running down, because this is a significant statement that the governor made. We don't have the details yet. I think, based on just sort of reading between the lines of what the governor said initially and what the speaker said after that run downstairs, it sounds to me like what you're going to have is something to say to teachers: look, we're not ignoring you. No, we're not going to do teacher pay in this session, but here's something that I can promise is in the works, and maybe we put the machinery in the works in this session, but no money actually.
So absolutely no new developments except an articulation, perhaps in a new forum or in the spotlight of a joint session and a television audience statewide, articulating what's already in the works.
I don't think so. I mean, we're parsing a lot from what was an eight-word statement.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Exactly. The substance of that eight-word statement basically is, I'm going to have something new. There's going to be some new twist on how we're going to deal with this.
But if it's not dollars, I'm not sure teachers will care.
Exactly.
Like the thing that struck me about this whole teacher pay debate this session, going into this session and then during the session, has been that this can be a major talking point in the election this year, for whether it's Holcomb or state legislative officials. We have seen in this state, if teachers get angry enough about something or someone, they can have an impact at the ballot box. We saw it in 2012 at Glenda Ritz. So there is a precedent for that happening. If they decide to take out their anger on someone, there's no state superintendent race in Indiana this year for the first time.
And she's on their side anyway.
If she were on the ballot. So it's going to be on Eric Holcomb. The easiest thing in the world to do would be to take a little bit of this surplus money and give a one-time bonus to teachers and say, this is to hold you over until we put in this big...
But not $291 million, such as what Greg
Porter
proposed.
No, maybe not all of it. But you could do something smaller than what Democrats are proposing and really cut this argument off at the knees.
Yeah, this is why what the governor did was really bad politics, to tease something, to raise expectations. And if it doesn't meet those expectations, what have you done? You've just made it worse. We already knew that he was saying, we're not going to do anything now, but I do have this commission. Let's wait and see what comes out of that. So unless you're going to override that, I don't understand why you're doing this.
I feel like it goes against what we've heard, that we're waiting for this commission to come up with their recommendations. Well, that commission's not done with their work yet, as far as any of us know.
Yeah. After the session.
Yeah, and so it'd be a little surprising if he's going to come out and have this plan for 2021 that already says, this is what we're going to do, when we thought we were waiting for this commission.
Well, and you had teachers, 15,000 teachers did show up on Organization Day, Red for Ed, and that got a lot of talk. That's probably one of the reasons we're talking about this now, is that lingering sort of excitement and spotlight. And those, you had the administration and Republican leadership already saying, we heard you, and that's why we are dealing with somebody already alluded once to the change with the iLearn being held harmless, schools and teachers, in terms of tying evaluations or school performance records and grades, at least temporarily, to a test on which a lot of students didn't do very well this last time around on the new test. And then also easing or making optional, I guess, or giving local school districts control over whether these controversial teacher externships or additional requirements, workforce type requirements to expose teachers to what it means to prepare students for the 21st century, that's now going to be, for all practical purposes, I guess, gone. So they get 2 out of 3, but that's not enough to satisfy teachers, is it?
I think it might be enough to satisfy them in 2020. And again, we'll see what the governor says. But there's been an interesting push-pull going back to last year between the governor and the legislative leaders and the ISTA and the IFT, which is the government side has been saying...
And those are all unions, just for people who don't live in the state.
Right, the two big teachers' unions. But the government on the Republican side has been saying, here is a gesture of good faith. We're not ignoring you. Here's what we're doing. trust us that we're not going to neglect this and just throw it under the bus after the election. We're going to do something. Here's something to get started. And the response from the ISTA and the IFT has not been what we saw in Oklahoma and Arizona and a couple of other states, which got this debate started nationally. We've not seen mass walkouts. We had 15,000 teachers on Organization Day saying, we're here, we're watching. But the unions have expressly said, no, we're not going to do a mass walkout, which is illegal anyway. We're watching and we expect to make good. There has been a willingness to accept that good faith. If they see something
that well, that was hopes were raised, maybe. But
yeah, I think that's running out. But I think the bigger thing that they could do this session that maybe a lot of teachers weren't necessarily expecting is something that we were surprised to find on the House Republican agenda, which is the hold harmless feels like the bare minimum. It's like everybody said, oh yeah, there's no way we can do that. And so that almost seems like, well, of course you're not going to, of course you're going to pass that bill. The one that we didn't expect was a more permanent solution, which is to decouple teacher evaluations from test scores. Teachers have long been asking lawmakers to do that with absolutely no indication that that was ever going to happen until all of a sudden somehow some Republicans on the House side said, yeah, actually, that's a good idea.
And
now,
it's been Republican dogma to link those two things.
Right. Now, but the problem is that would be great for the problem is not that that would be great for teachers, because they've been asking for that for a long time. The problem is that's far from a sure thing.
It has already passed through the House committee, but to your point, yeah, it still has to go through the Senate, and it was not on the Senate Republicans' agenda, notably, even though it was on the House Republicans' agenda, which I thought was.
And those agendas were otherwise
pretty similar.
Almost mirror images of each other.
Brian Bosma said back on Organization Day he wanted to at least start the conversation on decoupling. He was a little bit more forceful when the House Republicans rolled out their agendas, and we think we can get it done this year. But, you know, once you've actually started the legislating, I'm not sure you come out and say, yeah, we probably can't pass this. He may still be thinking we're at least getting it started. But they've definitely gotten it started. It was unanimous in committee. The problem is certainly going to be the Senate. The Indiana Chamber is already out saying, whoa, 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 bad idea. But if this were to get through, again, that's a big item on the teacher's wish list. You've also got the externship requirement, which disappeared or is going to disappear, it looks like, in the space of 9 months from passing.
Or at least become optional, which, again, maybe is
tantamount to disappearing. Yeah.
But, again, you're walking a little bit of a tightrope there because you're not going to deliver on teacher pay this session because you feel like you already did that last session if you're the Republicans. So you're not going to deliver on teacher pay, which teachers want. If you also don't, if you've gotten the process started to decouple and then can't deliver at this session, that becomes a problem electorally.
Creating anger, it's wounding the bear, I guess,
right.
to a certain extent.
Well, now, again, maybe he doesn't get it started if he doesn't think it can pass, but
But if House Republicans can vote for it and get it over to the Senate, then those House Republicans can go run for re-election and say, well, I voted for it.
That's true.
And they can also go into conference committee and say to the senators, look, do you really want to be the one who gets the ISTA riled up?
But remember, not all of those senators are up for re-election.
Exactly.
Right. True. All right. So we've talked about education-related measures that either will certainly pass or have a pretty good shot at passing. Let's clear the decks and move on after I say a few things that aren't going to happen on the education front are basically what the Democrats are proposing, which is a full funding for pre-K, every four-year-old. That ain't going to happen, obviously. Anybody disagree? Good. We stay unanimous. I want to have one correct prediction, and that's my correct prediction.
That's a pretty safe one.
I think that's why I like to go with the high odds here. And then they also say more safety measures in schools, more officers, more mental health. And again, that's, I think, the response. Republican response would be, that's a budget issue. Let's hold off on that. Is that a fair assessment?
It's not only a budget issue in their view. A lot of that stuff they will say is local issue.
Right.
And even though they have taken over all the general funding of schools, they still like to, when it comes to deciding a little more about how some things are done, they will defer to the locals. And I think sometimes it's political dodging and sometimes it's ideology, but nonetheless, it shifts the game.
Basically, if there's a dollar sign attached and it's not a building at a higher education institution, it's just not going to happen this session. Yeah, that's the way it looks.
That's right. So obviously there will be a lot of talk, as we mentioned a moment ago, about vaping and tobacco, but no talk, as a large coalition has suggested in past years, of doing anything with additional revenue through taxes on that. That's just not going to happen. All right. So since you guys are, we're staying what's not going to happen, let's keep riffing on that. So. Decriminalization of marijuana, even though, bless her heart, Karen Tallien's back with a bill in the Senate from Senator from Ogden Dunes. This is something she has been a proponent of for a number of years. Chances are, Eric, Zero. Okay. Anybody disagrees? See, we're just going to get my predictions down here.
There will be no movement on, not just decriminalization, no decriminalization, no medical marijuana, nothing.
All right. Probably not even a hearing.
People keep asking the governor about his position on this, and it has not changed. I mean, he is adamant that it's a federal issue, needs to be dealt with at the federal level.
All right. Redistricting. Now, there's, you know, John Ruckelhaus has had put forth, as he has in the past, why does this always say, as people have in the past? Just seems, a lot of these things just keep coming up and coming up.
It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Anybody think that we'll change the way we draw maps here after the decennial census?
Nothing really substantive, but the Ruckelshaus bill is about transparency.
I think he has one that would actually go to an independent commission. Which is what I think you'd like to see. But talk about the transparency. That's basically letting people play games at home where they have the data and you can play the game and try to do
right.
better.
And honestly, I think even without that bill, I think you're going to see at least maybe some organizations try to put something like that together for next year so that at home a citizen could draw a map and see how it compares to the ones the House and Senate come up together. I don't think there's necessarily going to have to be a bill for that to happen, although it would be easier if there were. So it's possible, but anything substantive is just not happening.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing stopping anyone from creating such a mapping tool online.
They've done it before.
And allowing you to, you know, as a Hoosier to submit, hey, I think this should be a map. I mean, and in the bill, as far as I know, isn't even saying, like, you have to consider these maps that are submitted.
No, I think it says only that they may consider this as part of their education. Well, they could consider a lot of things as part of their education. Also, things that probably aren't going to be seen, well, they will be seen, but aren't going to go anywhere, I'm guessing, are some of the pushes related to abortion restrictions, gun control issues, and maybe the insertion of additional religious influences into public schools. Those bills...
committee passed last night posting In God We Trust in fairly large size...
That was testimony only.
Yeah. That's right. But it's moving in committee where before that
These are the bills that always strike me as ones that have the potential to everybody walks into this thinking, oh, this is going to be not only fast, but we've got it all mapped out. That's the derailment
There's always something that you think, you know, why would you want to get into that in this short session, and then they go there. So I don't rule them out.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that get a committee hearing. So I'm interested to see how it moves, if it does move. I don't know if we'll see that totally pass. I think it probably gets killed somewhere along the way, but just the fact that it had a committee hearing
and discussion. But it won't be for the religion in schools objection. It's the national motto. For better and for worse, it's the national motto. There's not much we can do about that here in the state of Indiana, as much as some might like to. But it's not going to be that we're putting God in every classroom in the state of Indiana. I would argue he's already there, he or she. But
before every test, right?
Yeah. But it's going to be because you're requiring every school to spend money if they can't get it donated on posters, durable posters, as the wording of the bill says, in their class, in every single classroom.
And we've all heard this mantra, unfunded mandates on so many other issues.
Let's play this out. The reason to kill it is because, oh my God, you're not going to pass teacher pay. The only thing you're going to pass with a dollar sign is going to require schools to spend more money. Now, it's not a lot of money, but anything that they might have to spend that they didn't already have to in this
session. And that gives them political cover.
In an election year when that's going to come back and opponents are going to... It would be an interesting
decision.
All right.
I'm with Lindsay. I wouldn't completely rule that out, but it's unlikely.
Okay. Now, you have said, Eric, on the radio and elsewhere, that the most controversial issue of the session, I've been building up here, priming the pump, is going to be the elimination of cell phones or other handheld devices when people are behind the wheel.
Yep.
That's what the governor wants to do, and that's what 20 other states apparently do. What's going to happen here?
Remains to be seen, but I do think that's going to be the most controversial issue of the session. We've just talked about the ones that are certain to pass and the ones that aren't going to pass. What you've got here is something that the governor has asked for that nobody in the legislature was pushing for. They've pushed for it in the past, and it's gone nowhere. Nobody has been bringing it up lately. The fact that it's on the governor's agenda and he has a legislature of his own party means they're not going to just ignore it. But there's a lot of opposition over there to that. There's a lot of small L libertarians, especially on the Republican side, but not exclusively. You know, we've seen this before. You guys remember the seatbelt debate, the red light cameras, which still are not allowed.
Motorcycle helmets.
There are 0.08 for DUI.
I know some Republican senators. I know some Republican senators who still don't like the seatbelt law.
Absolutely.
So the idea of going to hands free just seems far fetched to me. I mean, yes.
Not everyone in the House and Senate has a cell phone yet, but well,
That's not entirely false.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean to go down that path. That was my little attempted quip.
That's actually, we've had senators on the floor talk about how they don't like cell phones.
Well, then they will comply with the law, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think that's true.
That's true. We did have that. So, do you agree? Is that going to be a hot button issue for certainly for voters or do voters even?
When you don't have the Speaker of the House on board with it,
and
he said he's a swing vote. Right. I think there's a good chance that they give it a hearing and then say this needs more discussion and debate.
But then you have
not blown off the governor, but he doesn't have as much sway up on the third floor as some governors like Mitch Daniels did. They are not as inclined to always follow his lead, and partly that's because they have such huge numbers. They are pretty powerful in and of themselves.
Yeah, there's no risk to just saying no to the governor.
But he's made half a dozen things on his agenda. We've already talked about, I think, virtually all of them except transparency and medical costs, which basically it's an attempt to arm consumers with the information they need to make smarter decisions. And also prevent hospital groups and other healthcare providers from surprising people with bills if they think they're in network and they're not out. But when he only has a few things on his agenda, can he afford not to deliver on this, Lindsay?
Well, I think if he delivers on those other things, then he'll still be okay. I mean, because I'm not sure how popular the hands-free driving law would be among your average Hoosier. And I think that's why aside from some Republicans, that's too much control over individual freedoms and their position on that, I think this can be a nonpartisan issue, and you can have people on kind of all different sides of it. Because I think there are a lot of technical details of it and how it works. Yeah. And some of the questions that I raised, in the beginning was, well, is it just cell phones? What about iPads? What about all these other things? I mean, there are a million ways that people can be distracted while driving.
All right. Well, I guess I should have talked faster, speaking of speed, because we would have been able to cover more, but we did a lot. And I wrote down the predictions, and I will hold you all to those in the coming weeks. Thank you for being here and sharing that corrected 2020 vision with listeners and viewers across the state. Greatly appreciate it. Again, my guests have been Mary Beth Schneider of the State House File, Eric Berman of WIBC Radio, Lindsay Erdody of the Indianapolis Business Journal, and Brandon Smith of Indiana Public Media. We'll take a deep dive into this short but busy session with the General Assembly's four caucus leaders on the next Indiana Lawmakers. For more information, episode streams, and other extra content, visit us on the web at wfyi.org/lawmakers. You can access live streaming coverage of the General Assembly on the Internet as well. And remember, you can get our show on demand from Xfinity. Well, that concludes this edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm John Schwannis, and on behalf of WFYI Public Media and Indiana's other public broadcasting stations, I thank you for joining us, and I invite you to visit WFYI.org for more State House coverage. Until next week, take care.
Purdue Research Foundation's $1 billion Discovery Park District, where the Convergence Center is merging companies, investors, and entrepreneurs with Purdue innovators to address global challenges and advance life-changing technologies. More at discoverypark district.com.